I had never for a moment thought of myself as a bodyguard. I was 21 years old. It was the late 1980s, and Peru was reeling from the murderous assaults of the Shining Path Maoist insurgency. Several years later, the former philosophy professor and leader of the Shining Path, Abimael Guzman, would be caught and jailed for life. But at the present time, he and his followers were killing both enemies and innocent victims by the thousands with assassinations and bombings. They were even stoning people to death in village squares. Violence and danger were present at every level of Peruvian society. All this brutality made the capital city of Lima an extremely precarious place to live. So when my friends Martina and Chaska asked if I would accompany them as an escort, read guard, to a dangerous district on the outskirts of the city, I was taken aback. During the 1980s, parts of this area were risky during the day and downright perilous at night. At the time, I had been spending 9 hours a day training in martial arts, more on this below, but had rarely thought of using my combat skills as a personal protector. I was even more surprised when Martina told me they planned to visit a local bruja, or sorceress, who lived in this depressed area. This elderly woman was reputed to be a powerful miracle worker, who could help people solve whatever problems they brought to her altar, be it making money on the stock market, winning someone's affections, or curing cancer. Martina and Chaska knew I was training in the martial arts, and that I had been in more than one fight on Lima's streets during this unstable time. They needed protection and were afraid to visit this part of the city alone. Would I come? When the spirits are free to roam. It was the middle of the night, and the darkness made the house look particularly run down and sinister. La bruja, Martina had been told on the phone by one of her assistants, only saw customers after midnight when the spirits are free to roam. Both Martina and Chaska had been asked to send a written statement ahead of time, giving their names and a description of their problems. Martina was deeply depressed for unknown reasons and thought she had been cursed. Chaska had lost a good deal of her life savings in a financial scam and wanted magical help getting it back. Other people would be at the consultation, they were told. The cost was extraordinarily high, forcing poor clients to come up with funds they might otherwise use to put food on their table. I kept this thought to myself as we parked the car in front of the bruja's house and knocked at the front door. It was opened by a well-dressed young man with slicked back hair and an ingratiating smile. I explained to him that I was here as an escort for my friends and would not be participating in the night's ceremony. He nodded without breaking his smile and ushered us into a long hallway where some 10 or 12 people were standing almost at attention, looking both frightened and eager. The young man disappeared for a moment, then returned holding a pot full of empty envelopes. On cue, everyone removed a wad of cash, stuffed it into one of the envelopes, wrote their name on it, and handed it to the man. Some members of the crowd did this in such a routine way that I guessed they were frequent visitors. After the paying ritual was complete, we waited in silence for several minutes until a door at the end of the hall opened and an old mestiza woman appeared. She beckoned us into a room and motioned us over to a large circular table. We all sat down. She was a large woman, more hulking than heavy, with many colorful beads draped around her neck, heavy silver earrings weighing down her lobes, and large metal rings on every finger. She was most likely in her late 60s. A combination, I thought, of Spanish, African, and Peruvian native. Her face was heavily made up, deeply lined, and unexpressive, with large black eyes that moved constantly, but seemed to look at no one in particular. She smelled strongly of several commercial flower perfumes, including Agua de Florida. A dagger, a set of rattles, what appeared to be a human thigh bone, and several other objects of sorcery were placed in front of her on the table.